Does anybody know who this is behind me? Now, if you don't know, I have to tell you, you're very old. Hands up if you know. Hands up anybody over 60 who knows. Oh, see, grannies and grandparents, that's the thing. Okay. Over 50? Oh, yes, we're getting up a little bit. Over 40? Yes. Over 30? Hands up so I can see. Okay, over 20. Okay. Well, she's one of the most famous people in the world, and if you don't know about her, shame on you. Her name is Rihanna. She has won 6 Guinness World Records, 9 Grammy Awards, sold 54 million albums worldwide, only comes second to the Beatles. 230 million downloads. If you don't know what that is, you're old as well. The UK's second biggest selling female artist of all time. Named by Time Magazine, get this, named by Time Magazine as the most influential person in the world, the most influential person in the world in 2012 and 2018, and you didn't know who she was. Total earnings so far, $245 million. Okay, so that's about £200 million. And she was born in 1998. Rihanna. A very famous person. She has more likes on Facebook than anybody else in the world. So she's a very, very famous person. But in September 2011, she came to visit Belfast. And there was a great celebration, great crowds turned out to see her. There's the PSNI in action. There's a man looking very... saying to himself, I wonder who she is. And she came to Belfast to make a video. And the video was, We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. That's a great compliment to Northern Ireland. We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. It was filmed in West Belfast. Okay. And then... just outside Bangor, at this tree was supposed to be very significant, barren, dead, and bleak. We found love in a hopeless place. And that was really, I think, a little story of her life. She grew up in Barbados. Her father was of Irish descent. She had 6 siblings, fathered by her father, the 4 different mothers. Her father was a drug addict. He was addicted to crack cocaine and to alcohol. She was miserable until her parents separated at the age of 14, and then she began to put her life together. So this video is really dark and bleak. There's drug abuse, there's poverty, there's unemployment. Us in Northern Ireland, we find love in a hopeless place. But then her trip to Northern Ireland made all the news headlines around the world because Alan Graham, the farmer that owned this field in which this tree was located, was a Free Presbyterian, and he gave them permission to film in his field. I passed the place where it was, and there she was. But she was scantily dressed. And the Free Presbyterian minister came and he put her off his field. I don't know if you know this place in Bangor, but as you come out of Bangor towards Belfast, this tree is located just beside this barn. And Alan Graham has printed on the barn, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I passed that for years, traveling up to Belfast with my parents, and I didn't know what that verse meant. After I became a Christian, I became aware of it, and I was hoping that somehow that my parents would see, and my brothers and sisters would see that verse and understand it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I thought to myself, if only Rihanna looked up, she might see hope in a loving place. Hope in a loving place. John 3:16, love in a hopeless place. Here is hope in a loving place. And here we see, first of all, in this verse, the motive behind Christmas. For God so loved the world. That's the motive. That's why Jesus came into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Sometimes, you know, you will give a present out of a sense of obligation. You know, you give a present to someone because they gave a present to you. I don't know if any of the ladies here keep presents under the tree with no name on them, just in case somebody comes that you haven't a present for and you can quickly write their name and give them that present. You give to them because they give to you. Sometimes you give out of gratitude that somebody has come to babysit for you, or somebody has helped you in some way, and you give them just a little present to express your gratitude to them. But the highest motive and the best motive for giving is love. And that little word, so, just adds so much to that phrase. For God so loved the world that he was intensely in love with the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Then we have the message of Christmas, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave his Son into the world. We've been singing about that tonight. He gave his Son into the world. He gave him to a manger in Bethlehem. As the young people were singing, the king surrendered his throne, and he came not to a golden encrusted a crib, or a gem-encrusted crib, but he came to an animal feeding trough in a stable with all the smells and the filthiness of the farmyard. And this was God incarnate, and he came into our world. But he not only came to Bethlehem, but he came to Calvary. Do you remember the angel appeared to Joseph, who was a bit nervous and but reluctant about committing himself to Mary, who was pregnant. And the angel said, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take her home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And then the angel adds this, you shall give him the name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. That Jesus came on a mission, and he came to Bethlehem in order to go to Calvary. That he was going to Calvary to pay the price of sin, to die in our place, to bear the punishment for that sin, that we might be reconciled to God. That he came to Bethlehem in order that he might go to Calvary. You know that ancient medieval painting of a nativity scene? And somehow then, through the window, the shadow of the cross is projected across the animal feeding trough. That he was born to die. He came into our world in order that he might go to the cross. The message of Christmas. And then the hope in Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You notice the contrast then in those two words, perish and everlasting life. That our sins have consequences. That God doesn't remain indifferent to sin. He doesn't sweep sin under the carpet. He is morally provoked by our moral failure. He's angry with sin, and the consequences of our sin is that we perish eternally, perish forever, that we're cut off from God and from His love and from His grace forever and ever. But over and against that word perish, we have this phrase, everlasting life, eternal life, that He came to give us eternal life that begins here and now, when we believe in Jesus and come to Jesus and stretches into all eternity so that our future is secure and we know the ultimate destiny when we die. This week I have attended four funerals. They're all Christian funerals. And a number of people said to me, you know, that funeral, or this funeral, wasn't like any other funeral that I've attended. It was full of hope. Because we believe that that person who died in Jesus is absent from the body and present with the Lord, that they have hope. And Christ came into our world to give us hope, to give us a future, to tell us that our sins are removed and that we can go eternally to be in heaven with Him. And that's a wonderful thing. He came that we might not perish, but that we might have everlasting life. And then the challenge that comes to us at Christmas, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the challenge. The challenge is not just to get all sentimental at Christmas time about a baby coming into the world, but the challenge is, do you believe in Him? Have you accepted Him? Have you come and put your trust and faith in Him? That whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you need to believe. You need to give up all hope of making yourself right with God, all hope of securing your own acceptance with God. And you need to believe that it's through this baby, that it's through this man who grew up in our world and through His death upon the cross, that I'm made right with God. And you come and you accept Him and you believe in Him. You trust yourself to Him. You yield yourself up to Him. And you say, I believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the challenge of Christmas, and the challenge of this time of year, do you believe? Do you believe? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And I would encourage you, even as you sit in your seat, just to silently surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and to put your trust in Him as your Savior and Lord and experience the wonderful hope that comes in this promise that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the challenge is this. I want to ask you, have you found hope? Have you found hope in this loving place, in this love of the Lord Jesus Christ? I just sometimes wish that Rihanna had lifted her eyes to that text, claimed that promise, and believed in Jesus as my family, week after week, day after day, drove past that barn and I became a Christian, I just wish that the truth of that text would have made an impact upon them and transformed their lives for eternity. Has it made an impact on you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the true meaning and reason for Christmas.